Hi, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
I heard you turn it on that time.
Hello. Welcome to the Infamous Podcast.
Welcome to the Infamous Podcast.
Johnny's doing his very best Darth Vader imitation for us.
I am your master.
My old master?
I would be the old master.
All right. So this is episode 37 of the Infamous Podcast, and ain't no Inquisitor safe, Johnny. Dave Filoni hates Inquisitors.
They're just fodder.
You know who else
They're
hates?
They're like X-Wing pilots. They're just fodder.
You know who else hates Inquisitors?
Who?
Maul.
Well, with good reason, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So this week, valued listeners, we are going to talk about, obviously, Star Wars Rebels, because that was a freaking amazing season finale. We are going to talk about the recap from WonderCon, and all the things that went down there this past week. And we are going to start out by talking about Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yawn of Justice.
So if you haven't listened to it yet and you've seen the movie, because we do spoil it, you can go to theinfamouspodcast.com or your favorite podcatching app and listen to our review with our guest David Griffin. But it wasn't all sunshine and batarangs for the kickoff to the shared DC universe. Now, it made a ton of money. Don't get me wrong. I think it set some March records and things
Did
like
it?
That. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear
it. But, and it actually opened in China at the same time, which is kind of rare for movies.
And they didn't start a war with us?
No.
No.
But it also had the worst Friday to Sunday drop for any superhero movies, including Fanforestick.
And Age of Ultron?
And Age of Ultron. Wow. So the Friday box office gate to the Sunday box office gate was the largest drop ever. So I've been just saying this to everybody who listen and people who, those fans out there who refuse to let someone not like this movie, is imagine how much money it would have made if it were good.
Like the first Avengers good, but not like Deadpool good or Captain America.
Yeah, I was gonna say like Winter Soldier good. Right. You know, yeah, because the top five for
Superman the movie good.
I
still go back to Superman the movie as being one of the like seminal superhero movies to watch you like superheroes.
And it's one of the first. It might be the first.
Well, it's one of the first
major. It's the first like modern.
Right.
So, but yeah, so. The top five for the drop-off are Batman v Superman, Fanforestick, The Dark Knight Rises, Kick-Ass 2, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then coming in at number six is Iron Man 3. Now, all six of those movies, it makes sense, because none of them really had great word of mouth coming out.
Yeah.
You and I are both relatively critical of Age of Ultron.
All right, I would give Age of Ultron the same rank I gave Superman vs. Batman. It's like a six.
Yeah, I'd give mine like a six or seven for that.
It's the problem with that, and the problem with Batman vs. Superman, because I can call myself a Batman and Superman fan as well. I'm a fan of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And Ultron in the comic book is one of the baddest ass villains around.
Oh, he's terrifying as a comic villain. Terrifying.
Yeah. Wrong, casted the wrong actor. You know, casted everybody else pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Like Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Playing Claw.
Oh, he was great for Claw.
Yeah. But James Spader didn't work for me.
He was too, and you know, I mean, I've said this before, he was too sarcastic.
Well, the voice should have been ran through some kind of
there was not enough modulation in there. It was like, howdy, and it should have been like, Howdy.
I would have rather seen like Jeff Bridges played and they modulated it. That would have made it
like how they modulated Ben's voice as Batman in Dawn of Justice, you know, or how they modulate Tony's voice when he speaks through the mask outside of it. It was I agree with that.
But I mean, you know, Batman versus Superman, like we talked about, there was things where it's like, I don't need to go back and see this movie, which is another reason why it won't make money, because it won't have repeat viewers.
I mean, it's had repeat viewers. I mean, we've seen it. Like
every group has a fanatic.
It does. And I read a comment, and I don't normally like respond to like comments people leave in the feeds of things. Yeah. But this guy had left a comment saying like, oh, well, you know, the editing was bad and the story wasn't good. But I went back the second time and I liked it better because I was used to it.
Because he was forgiven.
Well, and he said because I was used to it.
Right.
And so I was compelled to leave a comment to that. And I said, you know, it's sad that you have to go in and you say, I was used to it. That doesn't equate you like the movie.
Right.
That's apathy.
Right.
Imagine what this would have been like if it were a good movie and how much money you would have spent.
If it was like, you know, not, like I said, if it was more on a scale of Superman the movie.
Right.
Where there was adventure and action and, you know, fighting and all that, and not just a lot of bad editing and then a fight at the end.
Yeah. I mean,
and a bad Lex Luthor. I'm sorry, but how hard would it have been to get Bryan Cranston to play Lex Luthor?
Well, he was up for the role. Like, right. So this is my big problem with this, is since the movie's come out and it's got the bad ratings, they've shared a really cool scene inside the alien ship that had Steppenwolf.
Really? See, I don't even.
And, you know, it was when he was, like, in that, like, goo down there. Like, it showed, like, it was one of those Kryptonian construct things of Steppenwolf. And then, who, if you don't know, is one of the
dark gods
from Apocalypse. Thank you. I was going to say new god, but, you know, that's not right. But, I mean, he's technically a new god. So there was that. And then Zack Snyder comes out and says, oh, well, we had talked to Bryan Cranston, and he was up for the role.
So what was the problem?
Well, I don't know. And it's like, it's that kind of stuff that it's like, you are separating yourself from this movie because you know you made the wrong casting choice.
Well, and it's at this point Warner Brothers should separate him from the franchise and go with somebody else for Justice League. They start shooting like next week.
They start shooting, and so we're recording this on March 31st. I think they start on April 11th.
Right. I'm sorry. So pull him in the office.
12 days.
Pull him in the office tomorrow and just say you're fired.
And
call Ben Affleck up and say, can you direct Justice League?
I agree with that. At the same time, I almost think they need to push Justice League back because, I mean, it's supposed to come out next May. Or, I'm sorry, next November.
Yeah.
In the Harry Potter slot.
Yeah.
All right. Wait until Wonder Woman comes out. See the reaction to that. And then move forward.
I still think you can move forward.
But
I just think that they need to go in a different direction with a different director.
I mean, the other directors, like James Wan, came out about Aquaman saying how it's going to have a lighter tone and it's going to be fun. I mean, the other directors are already separating themselves and like, well, that's Zack Snyder over there. And it's like, I am not like, you know, I was a huge Joss Whedon fan when I was younger. Like, I loved Buffy. I loved Angel. I bought into the hype of Firefly when it was first on.
Oh, okay.
But as I've grown older and I'm more discerning and, you know, it's not that I have a critical eye, but like I want to spend my money on things that are really good. Hold on. I'll get to it real quick. The Marvel Universe is better now that Joss Whedon is gone.
Well, and I understand what you're saying because Joss Whedon is a better producer of television series than he is of motion pictures.
Agreed.
The only good motion picture I've ever seen of Joss Whedon's was Serenity. I mean, Avengers is a good movie, but I don't feel like that was a Joss Whedon movie as much as Age of Ultron was a Joss Whedon movie.
Yeah.
Because I think that Jon Favreau being more around during the Avengers affected how Joss Whedon directed that movie.
Sure.
And Jon Favreau wasn't as round as much for Age of Ultron. So that shows you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because Jon Favreau's name is on those and he is a director.
Yeah.
And he has the vision because he directed the first two major Marvel movies, the Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Yep, I agree.
So, I mean,
I mean, Iron Man 2 gets a lot of crap.
I think it's the best of the three.
But I enjoy it. It's the one I like to go back to the most.
Right.
I like Iron Man 3 with Shane Black. Yeah, I mean, but
that
it's
was fine too.
It's Lethal Weapon. I mean, let's be honest. Well, it's very, like, very much Lethal Weapon. But yeah, it's for me, and you know, you can email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com if you want to, like, weigh in on this. I don't think Joss Whedon handled the Marvel Universe right. I think it was the same thing here as Batman v Superman. It was the first time we saw these iconic characters on the screen at the same time, and everybody was like, I'm going to check this out.
Right. Yeah, it's the whole thing that if you put all that on the marquee, people are going to come. It's you know, Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed. Everybody's going to come see
Superman
the fight.
Versus Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You
well,
know?
Yeah.
No,
I mean, but it's the thing where, you know, it's that whole thing of two legendary characters in a movie. First of all, in a movie together, and then throw Wonder Woman in there. It's like, okay, everybody wants to go see it just for the fact that, and it's the thing that I said. I enjoyed seeing all of them on the big screen together.
That scene where she was
the story.
Where she was out front and they were flanking her was awesome. And I geeked out about that too. But yeah, it's one of those things where it just didn't, there wasn't enough there to warrant the fervor.
Right.
Really on either side.
Right.
Because it's not a bad movie. It's just not a good movie.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, at this point, you know, like I felt, we have talked about this enough.
Mm-hmm. That's why we wanted to talk about this first and get it out of the way.
And get it out of the way, because it's just one of those things where, you know, yeah, decent movie, bad editing. The director affects the editing. The director could say no to stuff, and the director chose not to.
Right.
And the executives chose not to say no to stuff, but that's because they don't know the characters.
Well, and part of the problem is, and I said this in our review, is DC does not have one overarching voice in charge of this other than the alleged overarching voice of Geoff Johns.
Right.
And he has shown time and time again now with these DC movies that he is not the right person for that job. He's great at the comic stuff, and he's great at being the overall arcing voice of the comics. Because he gets that?
Well, he needs... Geoff Johns, because he's a storyteller, needs to find a visual storyteller that will work with him.
Sure.
Like, and be able to produce these movies. Because that's what they need, is somebody who can be the person that's the Kevin Feige of the DC Universe.
They need to, like, back a truck up to Jon Favreau's house and be like, we're going to steal you.
With a lot of money in it?
Yeah. Just a truck of gold bullion.
Would Favreau do it, though? I think he's more of a Marvel guy than
I think he is, but like, you know, or like.
But there are people out there that are working that in the Hollywood system that are fans of this stuff that I'm sure somebody would go, I'll do it. And no, and not in the sense of like, I say, I'll do
right.
it. But like somebody who's
You're
got the
someone
backing
who has
to
the
say,
experience.
You know what? I can come in and do this for you, and we're not going to have the bullshit storm that you're having right now.
Sure.
Because that's pretty much a bullshit storm.
I mean, because like Jeff Loeb is involved with the Fox version of the Marvel movies now, and Deadpool and Deadpool was really the first one that we saw.
The Marvel TV.
He's that too. So
okay.
I mean, if I read that correctly, maybe I read that wrong. I just thought
he was in charge of the Marvel TV. He's the Kevin Feige of the Marvel.
I don't fact check anything. So
okay. Well, professional podcast.
But well, you know. But yeah, all right. So
where's my cowbell and my bell, you know, clink, clink, clink.
We need a little board so we can have the morning zoo stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I'll be really interested to see. I know I did pretty good on Monday with some box office,
but
it's the first day of
spring break. Yeah,
for a lot of people. But I'll really be interested to see how it just kind of pans out from here going forward. Again. I don't think DC moved this away from Captain America Civil War because they were actually supposed to come out on the same day.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Well, but they were supposed to come out on the same day. They moved it to the middle part of March because there was nothing coming out around it except for Deadpool.
Right.
And nobody expected Deadpool to do what it... I mean, it's still in the theater.
Right.
And it's not like it's in the theater with like one showing at 10 o'clock.
Right.
There's still like four showings at every theater in America of that because people are going back. And then Zootopia, nobody expected that to be a monster like it is.
Can I say that I, when I seen that first preview, that I thought it was going to be like, you know, really a good movie? I haven't even seen it yet.
Of Zootopia?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, you know, as much as Frozen did what it did for the movies like Zootopia and Big Hero 6 and stuff like that are the ones that Disney should produce more of because it's not a focus on a female character. It's not a focus on a male character.
Ensemble.
It's just an ensemble cast of superhero characters.
Well, like, you know, my wife, when she saw the Zootopia preview, she's like, I'm not interested in that. And the kid bot and I were both like, are you crazy? This
Talking
looks awesome.
Animals?
Yeah. Whatever the word is, anthropomorphized animals, and they're like police and solving crimes. Sign us up. And then we went to see it, and I think she liked it best out of all three of us.
Okay.
You know, so I definitely enjoyed it. Like, and like, it's one of the better things. I mean, it's like for me, like in the recent Disney stuff like that, Big Hero 6.
But if I came to you and I said, you have a choice,
okay,
and this is your choice, you have to go see Batman versus Superman again. Or you have to go see Zootopia again. Which one will you choose?
Oh, I'd do Zootopia because I can take the kid bot with me.
No,
like, even like, if it's just on my own, I would go see Zootopia again.
See?
So I won't see Batman v Superman again until I borrow the unrated DVD from
me,
you. All right. So
isn't
moving.
That
sad? I mean, it really is quite sad.
And I won't have that until Christmas time because I won't pay for it. I'll have somebody else pay for it.
But yeah, okay, so moving on. WonderCon
happened
this weekend as well. We got some really cool things. We got a first look at Arseface, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
From Preacher.
Well, yeah, because Cassidy's the one that gives him the name, and Cassidy's from you know, Great Britain.
Oh, okay. You know, the
So don't be an arse.
Don't be an arse. The DC Comics Rebirth panel, which I left being very excited for. There's a new Thunderbird series coming out.
Yeah, they just
and it's on Amazon,
trailer.
Right?
Yeah, it's gonna be Amazon. What that was a trailer. They didn't really have like a
fine.
Panel or anything. I guess they just showed it and it looked cool.
And then James Wan's Conjuring 2.
That looks
which
awesome.
I still haven't seen the first one, and that was one where I told you this is a horror movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as into horror.
Remind
as
me, I'll bring it over next time.
Perfect. And then
it was a horror movie that I didn't expect to be as good as it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't think anybody did. But like the studio believed in it so much they released it in July.
Well, he did Insidious and Insidious 2.
Okay.
And
I haven't seen either one of those either.
I think literally it was just one of those things where I in a 3-month period watched all of them.
Okay.
And I like this guy's vision for horror. Because it goes back to more 60s, 50s, 60s type horror.
Okay.
And it's, The Conjuring 2 looks, because it's another one of the Warrens cases.
Right.
Which The Conjuring was one of the Warrens cases.
Right.
And they did the Amityville. They were like the ones who brought the Amityville out to the public consciousness. And this is the Enfield case.
Okay.
But it's tweaked because it's obviously a movie version of it.
Okay, cool.
And
Patrick Wilson,
Vera Farmiga come back as the
They're
Warrens.
In it
they
again.
Were in the
okay.
Conjuring. They played the Warrens in the Conjuring, and they're coming back in this one, and had no recasting or anything. So,
cool.
I was like, that's cool, and it just looks creepy as hell.
Like, yeah,
I don't know. Did you see on the front end, Cloverfield Lane? Did you have that preview?
I don't remember. No, I didn't. I didn't. We didn't.
So
have
on
that.
Mine, so, it was on there.
Well, but I saw it a couple days before you.
There's a part of the preview that just makes you go, "Holy crap!"
Okay, cool. So other cool WonderCon stuff. They announced almost all of the Rebirth creative teams, and we'll talk about Rebirth here in a second.
Yeah.
There was a whole looking forward to the second half of the Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Preview.
Yeah.
And then Brian Michael Bendis and Charles Soule and the rest of kind of Marvel talked about the Civil War II big crossover event and kind of what's kicking it off, why people are on which team and things like that.
Which I kind of avoided a lot of that just because when I read it, I want to be able to read it and actually.
And yeah, so I mean, all I know is I've seen pictures where it's Iron Man on one side and Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers on the other.
She's the major factor of why stuff like gets rolling.
So, I'm definitely interested there. All right, so now Rebirth. There's a Rebirth panel. They live streamed it, which was awesome. Thank you, DC, for doing this, because this is one of the first times they've really adopted technology for something.
Yeah.
And it was hosted by Jim Lee and Jeff Johns and Dan the Devil Didio.
Dan the Devil.
But they introduced, so they've kind of chunked the books together, kind of. There's the Bat books the Bat and universe, the Super books. And, like, you know, so which was fine. And it was great. But they brought
out. It was logical.
Yeah. But they brought out the creators, and each of the creators, and in the most case, it was writers. There were a few artists here and there. And they got to share what the first story arc was going to be.
Yeah.
So I know you didn't watch the entire thing.
No.
I did. I watched
the Bat stuff was mainly what I was
interested in. That was up at that's the that first was the very stuff beginning, they talked
and
about.
And then I was just too tired to sit there and watch
stuff.
I did hear that Amanda Connor signed on an exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
cool. So they have a ton. Like, so Sam Humphrey signed an exclusive from Marvel.
Yeah.
Liam Sharp.
From DC or Marvel?
From Marvel to DC. Okay. Liam Sharp, who, if you guys don't know, he's one of the creators of the comic app Madefire.
Okay.
And if you haven't checked out Madefire, it's on iOS and Android. It's a motion comics app.
Oh, okay.
But they have like a lot of the IDW titles. Right. Like they have a lot of the Star Trek and My Little Pony and G.I. Joe. And they do the motion and their sound.
Okay.
It's really, really quite cool. You know, if you want to do that. But yeah, and you know, they introduced the different Bat teams, they introduced art, like we get a look at Wally West.
I wasn't aware that Tom King worked for CIA.
Yeah. And so
a
and,
lot of his stuff is vetted because and he he's, for yeah. CIA.
And so that was really interesting. Tim Seeley is writing Nightwing. I couldn't be more happy for now, that.
He wrote
Grayson. He's been writing Grayson. See, I know him and Tom King.
Other like independent stuff that he's done in that. So that's why I was like more excited to hear that he was doing it.
Yeah. Dan Abnett is writing Aquaman. I'm excited for that. You know, the whole Batman Rebirth thing is, you know, like you said, Tom King, James Tynion. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
He's doing Detective Comics with art by Eddie Barrows, who's a favorite of ours.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I mean, like Ben Percy is doing a couple books. He's writing Green Arrow. I'm excited for that. Jeff Johns and Sam Humphries are partnering up.
Got facial hair.
I know their facial hair is back.
Yeah.
You've got Green Lantern's Ethan Van Sciver's back for the art on that. On a couple of those.
Right.
And then the Superman book, which is one I'm really interested in, not because it's Superman, is because the creative team is Peter J. Tomasi, Pat Gleason, and Doug Mankey.
That's Superman.
Okay. That's Superman, and they crushed it on Green Lantern Corps for years. I mean, that, like,
well, even Batman and Robin.
Well, and then Batman. Well, and I was gonna get that. Yeah. And then with Batman and Robin, and then there's a Titans with Donna Troy coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the original Teen Titans team grown up.
So it's gonna be Nightwing.
It's Nightwing. It's Arsenal. Okay. It's Donna Troy.
Starfire.
I don't remember if it's Starfire or not. But then there's a Teen Titans book where you have Wally West and the African American Wally West.
Yeah, but he's got the and the
traditional
and red.
Kid Flash. And that's where Damian Wayne just kind of decides, hey, I'm in charge now. And it's the first arc is Damian versus the Teen Titans, which I think is going to be really interesting. Another cool Damian Wayne book is Damian Wayne and Jonathan Kent. The son of Clark and Lois.
The Super Sons,
which will be interesting to see. It's kind of a baby Batman. Yeah, so Batman, one Superman
book is going to focus on New 52.
Right.
Kal-El, and the other Superman book, Action Comics.
Right.
Is going to focus on Kal-El from pre-Flash. pre-Flashpoint.
Right. And that's written by Dan Jurgens.
In the Convergence universe.
Correct. And then you get a new Batgirl book written by Hope Larson and with art by Raphael Albuquerque.
Where she's traveling the world.
She is. Yeah. She's got like a Eurorail pass and she's just fighting crime and, you know,
I'm
all over Europe.
I'm curious to see how they tie that with her appearing in Birds of Prey.
And then there's Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. So this is one of the things where we've talked about where I think it's okay to take people out of continuity. With these stories and just kind of tell like a standalone, like Batgirl should be a complete standalone story with guests popping in here and there.
Yeah, like it took place at some point in the history after she leaves Burnside.
So she's left Burnside.
Yeah.
And then Birds of Prey, there's someone parading as Oracle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And is the Huntress is from
Grayson,
right?
So it's Helena Bertinelli.
Right.
And she's gotten her backstory back.
Okay.
Of like the mob
and
everything, but
and
she's
wearing the
and she's got the Huntress, but she's still African American, which
fine.
She was a great character in Grayson.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked it out, it's a book that's totally worth it.
To diversify a character like that is cool because, you know, she could be black, white, yellow, green,
right?
Because she was created, you know, to be whatever.
Right, right. And then and then, like I said, Nightwing is Tim Seeley and Javi Fernandez. And the cover for the one shot is like my new favorite Nightwing thing. Like it's literally all over my office right now.
And so they announced that the books are all going to be $2.99.
Everything, even the 80-page Rebirth special is $2.99. So that's a huge deal.
And there's going to be a preview special in 2 weeks?
As of when this comes out, it's about a week and a half.
Okay.
But then there's All-Star Batman, and this is a Scott Snyder book, and it's going to come out in August. It's monthly, and it's going to feature a rotating group of artists.
That's cool.
So the first lineup is Scott Snyder and John Romita Jr.
Okay.
Which I'm
not
kind
favorite,
of but I'm interested to see his take on Batman. I really am.
Yeah.
Jock is going to do well. It's All-Star Batman.
Oh, is it All-Star Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So John Romita Jr., Jock, Sean Murphy, they have a lot of really great artists lined up for that.
Is Jock the next one?
Yes, Jock.
Jock's
I think
awesome.
Jock
Jock's
is the
awesome.
Second one.
I mean, so.
And so I don't know how many books each artist are going to stick around on.
If they
do
it like normal, it'll be like the 4 to 6 issue to do a trade paperback. You need either 4 or 6issues.
But it is it's a monthly because it had first been introduced announced that Snyder was going to do Detective Comics.
Right.
And then that came out. That's a twice monthly book.
Right.
So, you know, there's some controversy there. A lot of these books are 2 times a month.
Well,
which is
makes
in
sense of
the vein
the
of what Marvel's doing, though. I mean, Marvel does it, but they're still all $3.99.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it just makes sense to lower the price if you're going to do that because of the fact that, you know, we all live on budgets and that, you know, from the richest to the poorest of us, we have budgets.
Right.
And that, and the idea of lowering them back to $2.99 gives incentive to people to go, you know, oh, I'll pick up this book and check it out.
Yeah.
I'll pick up this book.
Like, yeah, it's worth it to check out.
Oh, of course, get the Green Lantern books.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the book with Simon Boz.
Yeah.
And that, because like I told
and that's,
you,
um,
to have new Green Lanterns every few years.
It's fun. It adds to the universe. It, yeah.
Right.
So one book I'm really excited for, it's Keith Griffin and art by Scott Giffen. Thinking David.
Oh.
And then Scott Collins with K.
Oh, Scott Collins.
Yeah. They're doing Blue Beetle, and it's Jaime Reyes.
Oh, I didn't know it was Keith and Scott.
Yeah, nice. With Ted Kord as his mentor,
right.
Which is something fans
Scott
have
did
wanted
some of the coolest
forever.
Flash art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Then there's Cyborg with John Semper and Will Conrad and Paul Peltier, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Peltier.
Yeah.
So, and that's a twice monthly book. That's my call on the first one that gets canceled.
Gets turned into a once monthly
maybe
book.
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole thing, and you know, I think if this works for them, I would like to see them do quarterly books of certain things.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before on the show.
Right.
Legion of Superheroes, make it a quarterly 80 page giant.
Yeah.
4 times a year. I'm on board. I'll pay up to $7.99. I'll pay $7.99 for it if it's quarterly. Big, huge get for this is Deathstroke.
Dan Tito's going, Friar Tudor, somewhere I love you, man.
you just called me the devil, but I still love you.
You said you'd pay $7.99 for a Legion of Superheroes book, but we're going to kill Nightwing again.
No!
But this is how we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him in Legion of Superheroes, but he'll still be alive. So he'll be dead and alive.
He's a Schrodinger's cat.
There you go.
So Deathstroke is getting a twice monthly book. But the huge get here is it's written by Christopher Priest.
Oh, yeah. That'd
which is, that's a huge get for DC. I don't remember the last time he wrote for DC.
I don't know.
If he's ever. So, and that's
Carlo. Well, the last big book he wrote was Black Panther.
And that was, what, 10 years ago?
It's been about almost 20 years
ago. Oh, okay.
Because it was, I think it was partially Marvel Knights, and then it went to be a regular book.
So, really looking forward to checking that out. Harley Quinn will continue with from Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. And that book will not be a part of the Rebirth.
Okay.
It will continue in its vein, but it will shift and plop into the Rebirth.
It kind of like,
but it's already been kind of a Rebirth anyway.
It's more of a book where, you know, they can do anything. It's a Deadpool type.
Yeah.
Character. So, I mean, you know, they can do anything with that. What Jim Lee's working on Suicide Squad.
Right.
Which she will be in the Suicide Squad also. So I've seen some cool art with
that. And that's a twice monthly book. So I don't think you should. Philip Tan is also doing the art with Jim Lee. So
but yeah, that'll help. But, yeah. I mean, you know, Jim made fun of himself when they announced All-Star Batman of what you.
Right.
You went ahead and did the book without me.
Right. And then you've got Superwoman coming out, which will be a monthly book. And that's Phil Jimenez
art.
Writing and art. Just like you have the Trinity Rebirth, which is Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And that's Francis Manapul.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I think it's Manapul.
Covering writing and art duties. And then Dan Jurgens, I'm excited about this one, is writing Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
And it's Terry McGinnis coming back. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's
They're
going to kill him. But he'll be alive and dead at the same time.
We're going to make Terry McGinnis Nightwing, and then we're going to make Dick Grayson
Batman Beyond
dead.
So, anyway.
Because I know how it gets to you, Brian. I know how it gets to you.
I know you want if you want the Legion of Superheroes, this is your trade-off. You know how much
I love Nightwing.
He hates Nightwing, that bastard.
I wonder why. What did Nightwing do to him as a kid?
I don't know.
That's the investigative story we need.
Show us, Dan. Show us on the Nightwing action figure where Nightwing touched you. So, yeah, it's... I mean, that is not nearly all the books that are coming out.
Dandy Adidas, Jason Todd. It all makes sense.
But
now.
The Sam Humphreys Green Lanterns is the new ones, but they're also part of the Justice League.
Right.
So that will be... It'll be interesting to see what they do there. Very exciting.
And they didn't tell everything because like there's going to be a JLA,
which is still Brian Hitch,
right?
And I believe that's monthly.
Okay.
But they haven't really said much about
some
that.
Some books I don't. You know, it's pick them up as a trade.
And they said pick them up as a hardcover. They also said down the line they're going to announce more news about Earth 2.
Okay.
They will announce more news about the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
And they will announce more news about the Justice Society of America.
Yeah, the only thing they didn't mention that I said to you was multiversity.
And I think multiversity can come into play down the line and fit very organically into
Like I said, quarterly books for like Earth 2, Legion of Superheroes, stuff where it's the unusual stuff.
Well, like the Earth 1 books, you know, like the Earth 1 Superman, Wonder Woman, Greg Rucka, and Nicholas Scott doing... Oh, we got to talk about that too. Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott doing the... Earth 1 Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is cool. And then Greg Rucka coming back and doing that. Yeah. Doing Wonder Woman.
That was a smart move.
And that's what Liam Sharp, who we mentioned earlier, will be doing the art for. And that's kind of a big get because he hasn't drawn anything really, like, other than like personal, like independent stuff or his own creator owned stuff for a long time. So it's real. And he's got a really cool, sharp, like, you know, no pun intended, but he has a really sharp look to what he draws.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a book we're checking out.
What are, like, let's say the top four that you're, like, you know, that you are going to pick up.
Okay, I'm going to just, Nightwing is number one.
Right.
So I'm not even going to count that in my top four. That's Nightwing. Just a given.
Yeah. You've made it your screensaver on everything.
I have. It's on like my phone. It's my phone backgrounds on my phone, my iPad.
I want to know what if the argument, because Geoff Johns mentions the argument with the black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Dan DiDio was trying to do other colors.
Maybe.
Let's put him in fuchsia. We'll put him in fuchsia and we'll make him Jason Todd.
It's going to be Harper
That's
Lee.
That's my Dandy Adito. Does it actually
sound
okay? It's
you know.
A little bit. Yeah. Hey, I'm not from New York, so I can't do the New York accent real well.
Well, we're going to take Nightwing.
It sounds like I'm a mafioso Dandy Adito.
We're going to take Nightwing, and we're going to make him green and purple. But he's not going to be a he.
That would be like, that would be
Bizarro
circus
Nightwing.
Colors.
He's going to be Harper Lee. But Harper Lee will be a transgender character.
Harper Lee that wrote To Kill a Mockingbird?
But no, Harper Lee, isn't that the name of the girl who's the... Oh, she's in Rebirth. Anyway, I don't know. There's too many.
Brian, you lost me there.
Yeah,
you lost me there. Okay. But Dan DiDio impersonation was better than that idea.
Probably. Okay, so you got Nightwing. All right. I am looking forward to Teen Titans because okay. that was one of the mainstays of my poll list when I first started collecting.
Okay.
I am looking forward to Green Lanterns.
Okay.
I am looking forward to Batman because okay. of Tom King. And oh, I'm going to throw a couple back, like just kind of grouped together. I'm looking forward to Batman Detective and Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Like as like one, just kind of
you're
the
more
Batverse
swaying
there.
Toward the Bat universe.
I'm interested in Superman because I want to see what the Tomasi Gleason and Mankey do
okay.
with it. And then I'm interested in Super Sons.
Yeah.
Just because it's different. It's yeah. something we haven't had yeah. in a long time. It is a book like that.
So for me, you take out the Green Lanterns and the Flash, because we know I'll pick up Green Lantern and Flash.
And I'll get the Green Lantern books right. as well. If I read them, that's a larger
right, yeah.
question.
But we'll take those out. Those are not
right.
on my list. So Super Sons would be one I'm going to check mm-hmm. out. Birds of Prey
sure.
is definitely one that, like, because I read the old Birds of Prey, so I'm curious to see. I'm really curious about Detective with the Batwoman
and Clayface and Tim
Clayface,
Drake back
yeah.
as Robin.
And then Action Comics.
Yeah.
Because of the being Dan Jurgens
mm-hmm.
writing Superman and Dan Jurgens knows Superman.
He's a great Superman writer. Yeah. And then I did forget to mention one in the Superman lineup. It's The Superman, which is, I think, been changed to New Superman.
Yeah, it's some kid from...
And it's written by Gene... Lun Yang, and it's a kid in China who develops some of Superman's power
right.
set. I kind of liken him to Miles Morales in the Spider-Man
okay.
universe, where he's got some of Spidey's powers, not all of Spidey's powers. He's got a little bit, like he's got those Venom Blast things that
okay.
he calls the Stingers. So I think that's one I'll probably wait until trades,
sure.
which I don't think is what DC wants to hear. But that's a monthly book. I think that's
they
one
they do and they don't. I think because, you know, they know some things aren't mm-hmm. gonna attract people as much
and,
off
you know,
the bat.
I'm definitely one of those readers who if I pick something up in a trade and I'm really get into it, I switch to monthlies.
Sure.
So
well, and the whole thing is you know, not to diss DC Universe, but I've learned from the new 52 trap that I don't have to buy everything.
Right. Yeah, and I'm definitely not going to get everything.
I might buy all the specials.
Yeah. Well, because there's not... There's
test the water.
There's,
right
what,
there.
30 of them?
Yeah, but it's test
yeah.
the water.
And they're coming out. It's not like the new 52
yeah.
where in 1 month, there's 52 yeah. new books. This is happening from June, July, August, and September.
I think it's almost to the end of the year.
Well, for what they announced
right,
is
yeah.
June, July.
But that's what I mean.
Like June,
like,
from June until September.
We might still get some stuff in
yeah.
October, November.
I have been...
Where's our Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew? That's
Captain
what
Carrot.
I'm looking for Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew. Where we introduce the Nightwing character, who's a fox. Ooh.
I would read the hell out of that. I have been very vocal about my disapproval of DC, especially in the comics, over the last few years.
Yeah.
I came out of this and I texted you immediately when I finished watching it.
Yeah, like...
I am... I'm actually excited.
You're gushing.
I'm not gushing. I'm definitely excited. Like, you know, sitting there and listening to the creators talk about what it is that they want to get out of these characters.
Yeah.
It's showing that they're putting the story in the hands of the people that need the story. It's not this huge combined universe that they tried to do with the New 52 that they would then like do weird things with Batman and Superman and pull them out of continuity and have their own story. But then they'd show up in the Justice League like nothing happened.
Yeah.
But it was the whole idea that everything was happening at the same time. This is going back to the way the DCU was where, there are these team books.
Right.
But the individual books are where the story's really happening.
Where the idea that worked back then on Superman was the triangles.
Yeah.
I would hope that they do that if there's crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Where they do this is part one, this is part two.
Right.
But not just say part one of six. Just do 2016 one
mm-hmm.
in a little triangle.
Yeah.
It's easier and it doesn't destroy the cover.
Right.
Because a story where you pop one of six up there on the top of it.
Right.
It's just too distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I
will say this. I think.
What was it in my. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
I
go
was
ahead.
Just thinking of something I would like to see come out down the line because I think it does deserve to have a spot in the DC universe because they own it. Is some of the Milestone characters.
Yeah.
And some of the Jim Lee characters. I want to see
the Wildcats. You know, I think talking Milestone, the ideal place for Static.
Yeah.
Is to come into the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Because prior to Flashpoint, he was a member of the Titans.
Right.
He was a very interesting member of the Titans. And I would love to see the dynamic with him and Damian because Static is a very well-adjusted hero. Damian is not.
Right, yeah.
And Damian does not do well with well-adjusted, as we've seen with...
Well, even like I've told you, my favorite Milestone book was Blood Syndicate.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Blood Syndicate show up. Oh, maybe if Damian
Stephanie joined Brown, the Blood Syndicate. Stephanie Brown is back.
Yeah.
In Detective. Right. As spoiler. That is awesome.
You've got the Robins in Robin costumes.
Yep. All of them.
Yeah.
In the and then Duke.
Because the smart thing to do is we are Robin.
Yep.
Them all be Robin.
And Duke is going to be Robin.
Hey.
And I believe it's Batman.
Hey.
So.
It works for me.
Which opens up a whole awesome storytelling aspect with how Damian feels about that. And I think that's probably why he pulled a Grayson and hightailed it out of the Batcave.
Yeah.
You know, now he's 10 and not 19. So, you know, it's a little different story. But,
well, yeah, he's a little punk that, you know, the Titans are going to have to smack down a few times and he's going to learn, you know.
I think he's going to whip the Titans into order and get and bring
I
that
think
book back
gonna
to prominence.
Whip him first and him, you know, we're a team.
This is what it's like to work as a team. Yeah. Like, I mean, because Brian Q. Miller, with the few, in the Batgirl issues, with the few times
he
had.
Where's. Man, if they could have got him to do one of these books.
I don't know. The few interactions Steph and Damian had in his books, really showed, she, put the smack down on him.
Yeah.
And, I like the one she's like, stop looking at my boobs. He's like you have any. You know, it was, great. It was, that brother sister thing.
Right.
What she got out of him, then the other writers saw and carried that growth over into the other Bat books. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, man. Nightwing's back in the black and blue. Dan Jurgens is back writing a bunch of cool books.
Yep.
I'm excited about Blue Beetle. I like the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle character.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of his book before it got canceled with the New 52. He was great as a character on Young Justice, which I think is the whole reason he got a New 52 book. And then bringing Ted Kord back.
Yep.
I think, you know, it opens the door for Booster Gold and you know, some,
Definitely.
Things like that.
I mean, it even opens the door up for Dan Garrett, the original Blue Beetle, to have a story.
Yeah, that would be really cool, too. So
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
All right. So Rebirth, we're excited. That was the biggest thing I think that came
out of WonderCon.
There was some other cool stuff. There's links to everything in the show notes. So
was the Voltron preview part of WonderCon?
No, that was a couple days before actually.
That's a pretty cool preview too.
That looks awesome.
Yeah.
There was a really cool Voltron life-size action figure I think it's not gonna, you're not gonna be able to buy the life-size one, but there's a pretty badass Voltron action figure that they announced. Wow, so
cool.
All right, so our main topic of the show is yesterday, last night, again, we're recording this on week. Thursday this week, we got the season 2 finale of Rebels. And if you remember back in, all the way back in January, when they introduced the 2.5 trailer, we saw this great footage of Vader and Maul and Ahsoka and lightsabers and, you know, Inquisitors and all that stuff. It all paid off this week in this hour long.
It literally
episode.
Was like almost the whole trailer it, was
it,
there.
Most of it, yeah. So we got some new characters introduced. Oh, and this is going to have spoilers, so we apologize in advance. We'll try to keep. I can't promise that.
I was going to say you're going to spoil the shit out of
this. I'm going to spoil the hell out of this. So, yeah. Like, if you haven't seen it, stop and come back and finish. So we get the eighth brother.
Yes.
Who is a new Inquisitor who on Malachor, Ahsoka and Kanan run into. And he's hunting shadows.
Yeah.
Which it's like he's looking for Maul.
It would have been cooler. There's a scene where he's crawling across the wall.
Yeah.
And it would have been you cooler see if him. They wouldn't have shown him. Yeah. And then just shown him as one of the molten statues.
Well, they do. There's a couple. Well, yeah. There's a couple times where he's like right there next to them. Right. And they have no idea.
But like to show him crawling across the wall, people knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And if I they think just, when he jumps at Kanan,
yeah,
it's a different like that.
Maybe if they just show him sitting like still and never he never moves
right.
until he maybe like pops up and attacks Kanan. I'll say this. This episode started off on a really ominous note too. The Phantom is in hyperspace.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka is having a hollow conversation with Rex. And Rex is saying, you don't have to go alone. I can be there in two cycles.
Yeah.
And I could just order you. You don't outrank me anymore. And they have this just really touching moment.
The thing that, where experience outranks anything.
And he says,
and
well, then I outrank you. And he says, experience outranks everything. And she says, then I outrank you, like you just said.
Yeah.
And then the look on Rex's face, it's like, what has she been through?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what crucible has she gone through
they literally
to put her
like
where
a
she is?
They need to do,
they need to do like a mini series
yeah.
of Ahsoka with this animation style because yeah. this is the best one yet. Of like, you know, the like, and they could do it in like, it would be cool if like it was six episodes and like blocks of two are like different points
things.
Of time.
Right, because the whole point would be to have it shown after she had left Jedi Order talking to Anakin
where did
right
she
before
go?
He goes to rescue Palpatine.
Well, no, so when she leaves the Jedi Order, right?
Yeah.
Where does she go? Like, why does she have a very Ventress-looking lightsaber with a white crystal?
Yeah.
You know? Because it does.
I think that would take place after the fact of her going and talking to
perhaps,
Anakin.
Perhaps, yeah. And then,
did they talk about?
And then what is the mission that he sent her on that then they fought about before he went
to
save Palpatine and behead Dooku? And then how did she become Fulcrum? Like,
right.
I think those three things would tell a really interesting story. They could
something
do the
has to do with Maul.
And they could do the same thing with Maul, with like a six episode thing.
Yeah.
Where,
well, you know, they cross paths at some point because he like talks to her.
Like, I loved it when he's like, Lady Tano.
Lady Tano.
You know?
Yeah.
So they obviously had something there.
Right.
But yeah, so this it kicks off on an ominous tone, which I think all the best Star Wars shows,
yeah.
content, whatever, kick off on an ominous tone. They're on Malachor. Ezra does the Ezra thing, touches something he's not supposed to, falls into a crack in Malachor.
Then the Goonies show up and they go on an adventure.
But he runs into this sickly
well,
looking.
Well, it's where he defends Kanan from the eighth brother, and the ground collapses out from
right.
underneath him, and when he. Like, he tells them he's okay.
Yeah, I'll catch
up. With you. And you see a shadow behind him, mm-hmm. and it moves, and he turns around, and it's kind of a reverse Yoda
mm-hmm.
moment, where it's like, you know, he pretty much is like, away, put your weapon, I'm not any
it's
threat
a, it's
to
very
you.
Much a Yoda
yeah.
moment. It's just a dark Yoda
yeah,
moment.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm not here to hurt you. I've been trapped here. And I tweeted from our account after this ended at Sam Witwer. And I was like, hey, Sam, like, what's the darkness that you have to, or what, the darkness in you that you have to harness to get to Maul? Because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's always amazing. And it got retweeted by the Star Wars main account, which is awesome. It's Sam Witwer is so, I mean, I would love if they could fit him into one of the live action Star Wars, you know, as an X-wing pilot who gets blown up or something.
He's a stormtrooper in Force Awakens.
Is he? Was he one?
He plays voice. He's voices of stormtroopers.
But no, I would love like his.
He does a lot of the ADR.
He does. I would just love for him to like just have his face in something because he's such a good actor.
Yeah.
But no, Maul is great. Ezra goes to his go-to, call me Jabba.
Yeah.
Which I get a kick
and
out of that.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, this guy knows who Jabba is. It's like, come on.
But I get a kick out of
that. He says it sarcastically, like, okay, Jabba.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jabba.
Yeah.
But then he's like, and you can call me Old Master. Yeah. And it's like.
Well, and it's one of those things where Maul is older by about 15 years.
At least, yeah.
But he plays the voice older. But he does, Maul doesn't really look older.
I mean, he looks sickly.
His horns look a little bit more like.
Blunted.
Yeah, and debilitated. He's more debilitated. But like he's doing the limping thing and he's like, you know,
crouched. But that's
over.
All for show.
Yeah, he's literally doing the same thing Yoda did. He plays it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can call me the old master. Like he's doing that old man voice.
Yeah.
And
in
like,
his cane.
Dude, you're not old.
He's got the cane and it's like.
Oh, yeah. You can see the lightsaber.
It's the half or like a quarter of like the Inquisitor's like circle blade there. Yeah.
Well, it's looks like Dooku's. Like it has that little blade.
Yeah, just but longer. So it kind of like if you look at it, it looks like it's the two pieces.
Right.
Like
it's the
Inquisitor
one that his
one,
brother used.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one that Savage carried.
But
the double bladed red blade. Yeah.
But and it's built into the cane. Like, you know, it was so cool.
Just the idea that Maul's been out there like just seething.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, he talks to Ezra how he and Ezra have a great conversation where Ezra opens up to him and he gets, when Ezra does that, he gets his hooks in because he's like, I'm really upset at the, like Ezra in his Ezra way. I'm very upset at the Empire because they killed my mom and dad and they're just mean to everybody. And it just makes me angry, you know? And he's like, anger, I can work with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, They you know, and he's very, very much, it's always two.
Yeah.
No more, no less, only two.
But he tells the story of how he was taken from his mom.
Yeah.
He tells the story of how
the Sith killed his brother
and how the Sith tortured him.
And took his power away. Because once he had great power and the Sith took the power away. So he's got a mad hate on for Palpatine.
Oh, yeah.
But he's afraid of Vader.
Yeah.
And I read something with Filoni where I think there was a story that they were going to do on Clone Wars where I think there was a line where it's like, why do you hate Vader? And it's because that's who, or why do you hate whoever? And it's like, because that's who I should have been.
Right.
So.
There was like a little bit of a hint that he was going to go after Dooku at one point.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, before it was killed off, the show was killed off. And he had a mad hate on for the Sith altogether.
Yeah.
He wasn't one anymore.
I mean, from the moment he, like, was on Dothamir and got de-crazied, you know, got his mind right and the cool robot legs. I do have to say, I like how when the Mandalorians found him, they fixed the legs and they were more human, like.
Right, the humanoid legs. Yeah.
And not the kind of ostrich legs.
I would have liked
them
to kept that spider body.
That was cool.
Just the pieces floating around.
Just because of the forest and everything. But so he and Ezra go on their own little adventure.
Right.
And while this is, and so because they're tracking down the holocron and while, or the Sith holocron. And while this is happening, Ahsoka and Kanan are chasing down Eighth Brother.
Yeah.
And probably one of the best Chopper moments of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Chopper's like, I found the ship. And Kanan's like, well, then go to it and we'll just track you, you know? Because, you know, obviously everything's kind of haywire. And so they do so, And then they get there, and Chopper's on the ship, and Eighth Brother sees him and throws the lightsaber at him.
Which was an awesome, like, Chopper moves back, yeah. Like, whoop.
Chopper was like, then he gets into the ship, and he gets the prototype tie going, and he's shooting the blasters at the guy.
Yeah.
And then Kanan, like, Freddie Prinze Jr. delivered the line personally. He's like, or perfectly. He's like, Chopper, sometimes I really like your style.
Yeah.
So they capture Eighth Brother. You know, things happen. He's able to, you know, kind of scent up the warning flare there. And the watching Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister do that Hilo saber thing. And,
yeah.
Like, at first I thought it was dumb. Because it's like, well, why haven't they done this before, right?
Well, my thing, I did do, why haven't they done this before? But I was like, man, they're using the Force in a way that nobody's ever used
right.
the
Force before. Right, so, but then the second time around, it's like, wait a second, they've never been in this expanse of space before. It's always been, they were, like, in close quarter combat, or they were on the medical freighter.
Right.
You know, this is really the first time we've seen them in an open universe, so it's like, yeah, they would use the Force differently right. because they're
well,
not.
Well, Eighth Brother does it first, and you're like, okay.
But seeing the two
I,
of them.
At first I was like, man, he's really got a good ability if he can do that.
Yeah, but seeing the two of them fly in was just kind of, it's iconic.
Yeah.
But so it's the two of them, or the three of them versus Ahsoka and Kanan. And I wonder if he's going to take the Caleb Dune name back at some point. And I'll ask that later
at some point.
But anyway, so they're fighting the door. Like Ezra and Maul go on their quest. They have a bunch of really cool teamwork, master apprentice things that happen.
Always too.
They get what they need, and just in time, the door opens and Ezra and Maul step out.
Yeah.
And Ezra's like, "We got to help them," and Maul kind of holds back. And Ezra's like, I brought help, or I found help.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka turns around, and she sees him, and she's like, Maul.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they have history, and it's things that we don't know. And Kanan's like, we can't trust him, and then Maul, and Whitworth delivers this perfectly. He's like, well, let my actions show you. And then he proceeds to just dominate the three Inquisitors in a way I don't think they expected.
Yeah, he pulls the lightsaber out of the cane, and lights it up.
And he's all flippy. And
like, oh, damn it.
We had this.
Yeah.
We had these stupid Jedi.
Literally, Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister, like, recognize him, and they're like, oh, look, it's him.
Yeah. It's like, the shadow.
Yeah, we're going to have to deal with him again. So they've obviously dealt with him before.
Yeah, I mean, it's been something that they've been trying to track down for a while. And then the instant, you know, Ezra's mine, I'm Kanan. Yeah. Ezra's mine, I'm Maul, kind of hit into play. Yeah. And he had a great line. He's like, two Jedis and a part-timer. And it's like, nice. Way to kind of just, like, stick it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a cool, like, cool little moment. Because in the movie, I mean, Maul had, what, 10 lines total?
If that.
And then.
And it was, can't think of his name.
Peter Strzok something.
Yeah,
he was in
Shaun
of the Dead.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. What a bunch of a-holes.
Exactly, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
At last we will have revenge.
Yeah, I mean, it was like.
At last we will reveal ourselves.
Some of that. But, like.
I think that was the only line.
And then even in, like, Clone Wars, like, he didn't talk a whole lot.
No,
I mean,
he
definitely talked more. Yeah. But, like, having these lucid, terrifying conversations, you know, it's like, yeah, he's got his SHIT together.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. You know, so they make their way up. There's the Kanan. Oh, well, we come as a set, which was a nice little, like, because they're the set of the action figures with Kanan and Ezra.
Well, it's the whole thing where Maul was trying to go up the elevator with Kanan and... With Ezra, and Kanan goes, no.
Yeah.
No. He's my apprentice.
Yeah. We come as a set, which was... I just thought that was funny. So they as they're going up the outside of this Sith temple, the helicopter Inquisitors are beating them to every terrace.
Yeah.
And it's fights, and, you know, it's...
Well, yeah, Seventh Sister decides to take on Ezra, who I think she's had a fascination with the whole time.
Since the medical band.
Yeah, so she is waiting for Ezra and Maul, on the second level.
Right.
Because they literally go up to the second level. And Maul proceeds to take her out.
Well, in part of this is she fights Ezra. Maul steps back.
Yeah.
And he watches Ezra. And he sees the anger that Ezra fights with, especially towards her.
Yep.
And she gets kind of to the point where she's almost got the drop on Ezra. And Maul does the whole force choke thing, lifts her up off her feet.
Yep.
And he tries to get Ezra to kill her.
Yeah.
And Ezra hesitates. And then she's about to make a move, and Maul strikes her down.
Yeah.
And he looks at Ezra and he goes, the next time you hesitate, you're going to die. That was probably
the best shot in the whole episode, because it just shows her blade cut in half.
Yeah.
And her leg.
You see her fall, and it's the bottom half of her body. And, like, you know she's not cut in half. Or maybe she is.
Top part's cut in half.
But
He threw it. I mean, her blade was in her hand.
But yeah, so you see, please. You see her in her little droid fall.
Yeah,
and your little droid too.
Yep.
And Ezra has a little crisis of conscience there, because he, I think he thinks I should have killed her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what would Kanan have thought if I killed her?
Right.
So, which is kind of what happens for the rest of the episode with him.
So then we flip over to Ahsoka and Kanan coming up an elevator.
Who Kanan in this episode gets attacked from behind every time. Like, why would you ever turn around?
Because he's a Jedi Knight.
Yeah. But
and they all just make mistakes.
And they're fighting with Fifth Brother.
Yeah.
And eventually Ezra and Kanan meet up with them.
Maul.
Or sorry, Ezra and Maul meet up with them. And Maul, just with zero ceremony, takes Fifth Brother out.
Right. And, well, you didn't mention that Kanan's blind at this point.
No, not yet.
Kanan got blinded by the Fifth Brother, didn't he?
No. Kanan got blinded by Maul.
I thought it was the Fifth Brother.
So.
When they literally come up the elevator and he turns around and he brings a blade right at his face.
No, that was later. That was after Fifth Brother died. When Ezra went up the... Ezra didn't know Kanan was blind until the end.
So,
yeah, you know. I've watched it three times. So Kanan or Ezra and Maul get there, and Kanan and Ahsoka are fighting Fifth Brother, and then Maul steps in and kills him, because he sends Ezra up the lift to go put the key into the obelisk at the top of the temple. As soon as Ezra leaves, Maul reveals his endgame and
calls him his apprentice.
And he says, "No, he's my apprentice." And that's when he attacks, and Kanan gets his blade up just in time, and Maul taps it up against his face, and that's what blinds him. And he and Ahsoka fight. That's where the Lady Tano, and he's like, "Are you gonna run again?" And she's like, "No, you have to deal with him." And that's where Kanan stands up, and he's got the Jedi Temple Guard mask on, which was awesome. It was this just very cool, like Bernard King, New York Knicks moment, where, you know, your star player has been injured, and he comes out of the locker room, and he's like,
"Yeah,
let's do this." And Kanan makes short work of Maul.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is because the Jedi training, there's a lot of, like, do not rely on just one sense. And it was very cool to see. It was a very Daredevil moment, too, which I thought was cool, with the footwork and hearing the blade. And he tosses him over the edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eighth Brother.
Yeah.
Kanan destroyed Eighth Brother's
thing.
And this was before, you know, they all got
right. It's just one of those things where they introduced somebody that it was like, it would have been kind of cool to see what he was.
True. But they introduced him to kill him.
I kind of would like, you know, obviously Marvel does the comic books and I kind of would like an Inquisitor book.
That would be great.
To show the origins of all of them.
Yeah.
You know, that would be.
And they ask how many of you are there, and he's like, enough to deal with you.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we'll...
So they're up to eight. We've seen the Grand, who we don't know if he's number one or just the Grand.
Yeah.
We've seen fifth,
seven, and eight. So there's
two, three,
four, and six. Maybe nine.
Well, you know, how many seasons are they planning to go? Because, you know what? One has to die at the end of every season now.
I think four seasons for this show
is
the course it should run, because it started out, it was 5 years before Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
So
Ezra's 15.
So we're about a year and a half in, maybe two at this point, like just chronologically.
Right.
So two more seasons, and that gets us to about a year.
Like you said, the discussion with Fanoli about Rogue One.
Because Rogue One comes out
in December. Chronologically, Rogue One will be a setting point of what the date is to Star Wars.
Right.
Because it is the theft of the Death Star plans.
Right.
And, you know, obviously Vader.
Mm-hmm. And so they've said that some of the bounty hunters and characters are going to be introduced in Rebels.
We're doing, like, just talking Star Wars, pretty much in general, I kind of wish they would bring Hayden Christensen in as Darth Vader. They made the costume for him.
Yeah.
He played that costume at the end of Revenge of the Sith. I think it would be kind of cool, you know, if Hayden was
Darth Vader. Still James Earl Jones' voice.
Yeah, obviously, but, you know...
Yeah, you know, though, I mean, it could just be...
I mean, they're going to
be... It could just be a...
They'll get the guy who played Chewbacca to play Darth Vader.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, the younger guy.
Yeah.
To play, yeah.
But, yeah, you can totally tell watching The Force Awakens when it's Peter Mayhew and when it's the new Scandinavian
dude. Peter Mayhew's...
I mean, he's wheelchair built around.
Well, no, his knees work better now. He can stand.
Yeah.
And that, but, I mean, it's one of those things where he's, I think, late 60s.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it's one of those things.
But I mean, you can even just like watching Chewbacca's hands tell the difference just from the hands. But just hopping like to the end, final scene.
Are we talking Vader coming floating down?
Yeah. So Ezra puts the Sith holocron in. It's the voice of Ventress, Nikita something.
Fetterman,
you.
Or something like that.
She was the voice of, it's called The Presence.
Yeah.
Which was great.
And
it
it's
was
questioning
so
him,
cool.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
and like, she's asking him questions.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like he gives a wrong answer.
And she's like, well, maybe he'll be the one.
Next one will be able to. And he thinks
But she
it's
literally
Maul.
Calls him out like he's coming down.
Right.
And she literally like says that. And it's like he turns around and sees Vader floating down on his TIE fighter.
Which is such a cool scene. And I think it was in that preview. I didn't remember it.
I don't remember being in the preview.
But like,
it was in the preview.
See, I didn't remember it in the preview. And I still don't. But I totally geeked out when that happened. I was like, yes.
When it's like, wow, he's flying the ship with the Force, and he's just hanging out on the ship.
Chilling on the wing. Yeah. And so he and Ezra have a brief battle.
Oh, yeah.
And Ezra says, I'm not afraid of you. And then he says, well, you will die braver than most.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the badass Vader we have always wanted to
see. Well, it's the Vader from Empire Strikes Back. It's the Vader who's taking on Luke and prodding him and that, and, you know.
But I mean, it's maybe what Vader makes maybe like 4 slashes and destroys the blaster saber.
Yeah.
So
and that's where it's like, where are we gonna go with that?
And then
now he's got another Kyber crystal, and
from out of nowhere, Ahsoka comes into play,
yeah?
And like this might be one of the best battles of lightsaber dueling in any of the Star Wars anything. The music was great. It was its own like. It was its own song, like, or score, but like with a Duel of the Fates undertone in there. And they just go at it. And these are two, and she refuses. So she even says, like, I don't believe you're Anakin. My master wouldn't be so vile.
Yeah.
And they go to have this fight where you just, it's this dance. They know each other so well.
Yep.
And everything he does, she has a counter for. And you can see he's getting like frustrated,
right?
Because he's becoming reckless, and Anakin like comes out in this moment.
Well, it's literally, I said, you know, she watched it with me, and I said to her, I said, he's having problems because he's more machine than he is man.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Obi-Wan said it. I said, and you can see it. I said, he's having problems fighting her because he taught her,
right?
And she still physically can handle everything he throws.
She's
at
her peak, like she's better than he was. Because like, even Ezra says, I'm gonna need more training.
Yeah. But it's like he's damaged.
Yeah.
I mean, he's damaged goods. You know, on more than one level, he's damaged goods.
I mean, as strong as he is with the Force.
When they're coming around the like balcony,
mm-hmm.
and she's just like chopping at him, I'm like, yeah, he can't handle it because the robot parts aren't keeping up with
her. They're not keeping up with him either. Like, you know, his muscle memory of what he has left, his skill and control of the Force. Because if you read Darth Vader this week.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
There's a like so if you remember, there's the battle going on Shindor.
Yeah.
And the evil C-3PO.
Triple Zeros.
makes a comment about how they need to use some droids, but the droids aren't one with the Force.
Right.
And he's created a machine to help them become one with the Force.
Okay.
Like, and this is happening after what's happening here.
Yeah.
So the mechanical parts of Vader is, the Force doesn't recognize
it. Well, and it's the thing, I mean, you know, it harkens to the final battle with Luke,
mm-hmm.
that he could prod you along, mm-hmm. you know, because he's trying to push you to the dark side, which he was doing with Ahsoka too.
Oh yeah.
And it's the thought that he has the ability to prod you,
mm-hmm.
but if you challenge him, he doesn't have the ability to fight you as well. Because Luke, once right. he prods Luke and says, well, maybe if you won't turn, your sister will.
Right.
Luke comes out like, you know, a beast. And Vader's just like, you know, I literally think like at that point he just is like, okay, I can't keep up with this kid.
I think the difference there is Luke taps into the dark side a little right. bit there. At no point did Ahsoka right. ever go yeah. dark. I mean, but Ahsoka.
But she's not a Jedi either.
Ahsoka also had years of training, right? And, When he says, I destroyed Anakin Skywalker because he was weak.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, then I'll avenge my master.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, that's not the way of the Jedi. And she, and like, I got goosebumps. And we, she I watched it again.
Said it, didn't she?
And like, I watched it again with the kid. She goes, I'm no Jedi. Right. And like, just Ashley Eckstein cool was great in that moment.
What else is she doing that he said to her? Because he knows she's probably been operating in the system.
Right.
That, where are the other Jedi?
Well, he asks. He says, Jedi? "You're going to tell me where the other Jedi are." Yeah,
she goes, "They're all dead.
They're gone."
Yeah.
So, and I've made this as.
Or there? Did she say they're gone? Or yeah. Did she say they're dead?
One or the other.
But I mean if they're gone, they're still gone. Somewhere.
They are. But I've made the assertion that there are no Jedi, like true Jedi, left anymore. Right.
Besides Obi-Wan and Yoda.
And Yoda. I think if you look at like kind of how Star Wars has grown and what Clone Wars did and what Rebels has done with force wielding beings, you almost can't consider Luke a Jedi anymore.
Not like the Jedi of old.
Right.
Right.
He's something new. And I think that's what the Knights of Ren are going to end up being. And I think this, the Inquisitors and what Ahsoka is, they're setting that up.
Right.
So, you know, they're having their fight in Ezra and Kanan get the crystal out of the obelisk, and you know, he's got the mask on. Ezra's, what's going on? And Kanan's like, I'll tell you later.
He realizes that his eyes are not working.
Right. And so they reach for it, they work master and apprentice, they get what they need, yeah. they get back to the Phantom. And as they pull it out, it's very Temple of Doom or Raiders of the Lost Ark. The temple starts falling in on itself, which we found out from Maul. It was a battle station.
Right.
Which we kind of forget to mention, which was really cool. It's like, well, what is he going to do with this thing?
Well, and it's like the thing where, you know, that gives you an idea of where Palpatine got the idea for the Death Star,
which is powered by a Kyber crystal.
Right.
So, or the laser is at least.
Right.
But, yeah, and so this is like where their fight kind of. I mean, this is the very crux and climax of the episode.
Well, Ezra's trying to save her.
He is, and she.
Pushes. At that point, she had damaged him.
She didn't. She hadn't knocked the. She did. She had knocked the mask off, and she was down. She
sliced it, so it was like just a piece gone.
So she came at him from behind.
Yeah,
and she sliced at him, and then she landed and like kind of. Tumbled, and it's like, did he stab her?
Yeah.
Like, it was very ambiguous about what happened. And then he gets up, and she starts to get up, and Ezra comes towards her, and she force pushes him back, and the thing closes, and he stands fully erect, and you see.
Yeah, like the way they move the camera, and you see Anakin's
and face. As they're moving it, like, the breathing changes, and it's like at the end of Jedi when it's the.
Yeah, it's the damaged. Yeah.
And, it switches from James Earl Jones' voice to Matt Lanter's voice. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not going to leave you again. And he looks at her and like, you see for a second there, he recognizes who she is and what he's up against. And then the hate comes back and he's like, and never at a point was he never, I never at one point thought he's not going to try and kill her.
Right.
Like there is, it's not like, oh, well, you're going to make me good again, or you're going to find some light in me. It's, you are the last remnant of Anakin Skywalker in this galaxy. You have to go. And he says, then you'll have to die. And again, Matt Lanter came back. He was the voice of Anakin in the Clone Wars. And it was just chilling to like watch this, like, or hear these two voices that for five seasons were brother and sister and you know, comrades in arms and teacher and apprentice, to see how it had fallen so far. It's really, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And this ends like, this is a very Empire ending.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's getting darker. I mean, it is. You know, the Empire is taking over more and more, and the rebels are trying to fight. And obviously there's different factions in the rebels.
Yeah, cells.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll call them the A-Wing cell.
Yeah.
And then there's the X-Wing cell, which is Mon Mothma and her group, General Dodonna, and all of them. And, I mean, it's just one of the things where it's like, who are these people to defend themselves now?
Right.
You know, I mean, Ezra's seen the full power of the dark side at this point.
And he's stood up to it.
Yeah.
More importantly, he's seen it and he's survived it.
He's not afraid. It literally, by saying what he said to Vader, it shows he is not afraid of the dark side at all.
Right.
He's not afraid to do what he has to protect the people he cares about, which will lead to his downfall.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
He will join the dark side at some point. I mean,
Supreme Ezra Snoke.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But no.
Maybe he'll change his name to Darth Wrynn.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I think so. This ends with everybody kind of going off in their own directions.
It's a very Star Wars end, actually. You know, the thing of showing everybody at this point where they are.
So Kanan and Ezra make it back to Chopper Base.
Yeah.
And they have this moment where Hera and Kanan share an unspoken sadness. And then they pop forward to there on the Ghost, and it follows, the camera goes down through that hallway of the quarters.
Well, it starts with showing Maul leaving Malachor.
Right. Oh, well,
goes to Malachor and shows Vader coming out of the now. You're right. I forgot. Remnants.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, and he's limping
into the cave.
Well, and you see that little bat creature thing, which we've seen a couple times now around, because it was on the planet with the brother and the sister.
Yeah.
But it was with the planet in Clone Wars. It was on the planet with the brother and the sister. Yeah, it's the same thing. And
it follows, it flies down toward a cave, and it seems like you see Ahsoka walking into the cave.
And so this is like where I think it's open to interpretation, because you think she's walking into the cave, and I think she falls.
Yeah.
And
it looks more like she's walking.
So I don't know. We have to wait till the fall.
But then it goes into showing
the ghost. And then it goes to the ghost.
Right. And it shows Hera, and it shows Zeb, and Chopper's there, and Satine's there, and then it focuses on
Kanan's back.
Kanan. And then it shows Ezra sitting in his room.
It focuses on Kanan's back, right?
Yeah.
And then he turns. And that is what kind of leads me to believe she's either dead, or you had a great theory or idea.
That she finally had to give in because it is Anakin, and she's become the Inquisitor.
Right.
She's one of the Inquisitors.
She's
now.
The ninth sister.
Yeah, something.
You know, whatever.
Or she'd be the Grand Inquisitor.
Maybe. And I think that in itself is a fate worse than death for her. So I can't wait. It comes back in the fall, probably like September.
They'll probably do a summer thing.
They'll do the summer movie like they have been. And then it ends with Ezra opening the Sith holocron.
And I question that. Did he or did...
It showed it open.
Yeah,
but... And then it glowed red into his eyes. And then when he looks up, he's got a...
blue.
It goes back to the blue, but like his eyes never turned red. It was just the reflection.
Just the reflection.
But he was very angry looking. Like he tapped into something primal and dark. And
I think at this point, it feels like Ezra is not going to be Jedi or Sith.
Right.
He's going to be more like Ahsoka was, where she's just what she is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I was close to right. Kanan almost died.
He did almost die. I mean, we definitely.
I thought he was going
to
die.
We knew something was going to happen to Kanan of
right.
all of them. Like, he wasn't going to come out of that alive. I think this will make him a better Jedi. I think he will. So, like I alluded to this earlier in the show, he will readopt the Caleb Doom.
I think. D-U-M-E.
Yeah. I think he will readopt that persona because he was recognized as a Jedi Knight in the Jedi Temple by the Grand Inquisitor. You know, he showed a mastery of the Force and use of the Force that was way more sophisticated than he had previously done after he lost his sight. And I think it makes sense for the character.
He beat Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's an insane Sith at this point.
Super insane. Well, but, and he's not really, so he's kind of like in the boat of Ahsoka.
Yeah.
He's not Jedi and he's not Sith. Too, yeah.
Ezra's not a Jedi.
No.
And I don't think he will be.
I don't. I think Ezra.
I do think that there are Jedi in the universe still.
That survived Order 66. Universe
that survived Order 66 because there had to be more clones like Rex.
Right.
Who, you know, either deprogram themselves or were able to stop the programming.
Right.
And I think that some of those Jedi might have survived.
I hope.
But, you know, that would be a cool story, but I don't see it being a major thing with Rebels. I think if they're going to tie it to Rogue One, that'll be our special.
Yeah.
They'll do an hour long special, tie it to Rogue One, you know, maybe have the trailer premiere. That would be like a...
That'd be really cool.
That'd be a really cool
idea. That'd be a great way to get people to watch. Yeah. So... I feel like, so the first season of the show was good.
Yeah.
It introduced this whole new idea of like the birth of the rebellion.
Right.
This season took it to another level. I mean, this is like fourth season Clone Wars good.
Right.
And I think part of it is it's the similar, or most of the production team is working on this.
Well, I mean, you got a strong group of writers and producers.
And you have Dave Filoni who
You got Dave, you got Pablo Hidalgo.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Killian Plunkett.
Yep.
I mean,
Henry Collins. I can't something remember. Like that, but yeah.
Sorry.
So
I can't remember everybody's name. No.
But all right. So go watch it. It's awesome.
Check out Dave's after show.
Oh, yeah. So our buddy Dave Griffin, who did the Superman Batman review with us, he's on Collider Video. It's called Rebels Recap.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Check it out. And also, if you're a Star Wars fan, go subscribe to the Star Wars YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much great stuff. And they have Rebels Recon.
Yeah.
Which is Andy Gutierrez. She's the host of it.
Yeah.
She's hilarious and like adorable.
With her co-host Chopper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like her and Chopper like battle it out. It's funny. Where'd all this smoke come from?
Yeah.
So,
but the one where Chopper's a celebrity and the photographer's coming.
So, but yeah. All right. So that's the show for this week. You know, lots of great WonderCon news. Batman v Superman. Let us know your opinion on it. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you like us where you were more indifferent towards it than anything?
Pretty much.
Which I think is worse, but. That's it for another day. And, you know, what did you think of the Rebels finale? It's, I'm excited, man. Like, I loved it. I can't wait for the show to come back in the fall.
Definitely, like, one to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And watch again.
And again.
Yeah.
And again. And again.
Thanks to those guys. Thanks to Kathleen Kennedy and to Dave Filoni and you know, Disney for, you know, having the idea to do this after the Clone Wars was shut down and that, you know. I mean, it wasn't just coincidental that Rebels was created. It was created because they had shut down Clone Wars and you know, thanks to Disney for doing that. And, you know, like I said, Kathleen Kennedy and Dave Filoni are holding this universe together.
Yeah. And doing it well and succeeding.
Everybody works on the show. I mean, you know, all the way down to, you know, the voice actors.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, and the voice actors, it's fun to watch them be interviewed because they talked about this one specifically where they were only given their pages and everything was marked out except their lines, and it's like, that's pretty awesome that you guys perform the way you do and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're professionals.
Oh yeah.
So all right, so I hope this isn't the end of Ahsoka Tano.
We'll see her again.
I really hope so.
Actually, and we Eckstein will... is a pretty awesome person.
Yeah. So. And we will definitely see Maul again. So
yeah.
All right, so that's this week's episode. If you want to get in touch with us, we have a new email. It's contact@infamouspodcast.com. Yep. Super easy to remember. Don't need any more of that Gmail crap. You can find us at infamouspodcast.com. We're at infamouspodcast on Twitter and Facebook. We haven't asked in a while, but subscribing and 5-star reviews on iTunes would be great. We just got up on Podkicker. Was that the one you sent me?
Yeah.
So if you're an Android user and you're listening to us on Podkicker the first time, welcome. Thank you for listening.
Do they have any kind of rating system like
iTunes? No idea. I don't have an Android phone. So, and you have a Windows phone, which is like only makes phone calls.
It does a lot more than your iPhone does sometimes.
No. Anywho, yeah. So Johnny, where can they find you online?
Twitter and Instagram is Johnny Podorf at
Johnny Podorf. Yeah, I'm at Brian Tudor on Instagram and Twitter. You can't find me on Facebook.
Just if you're gonna friend me and just because you've heard me on here, let me know why you're friending me. So yep, disconcerting to just see names pop up and be like,
who is this person?
Who is this person? Why are they? So,
but yeah. All right. So that's the show this week. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week, probably talking about Negan and the 90-minute Walking Dead finale. So yeah, everybody have a great week.
Did we have an episode where we didn't talk about The Walking Dead?
We did. We were going to, and then we replaced it with Rebels at the last minute because I'm utterly in love with the episode. Anywho, all right, guys, have a great week. We will be back next Friday. Last words.
May the force be with you.
Always.